Matthew chapter 3 is the beginning of the gospel story. And it actually doesn't start with Jesus. It starts with Jesus' cousin John, who was a couple of months older than Jesus, and he went into ministry a little bit before Jesus. And he was down at the Jordan River, and he was baptizing people and calling them to repent of their sin. Let me read the story. It's in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of God is near.'" So what would happen was people would repent of their sin. It was an awakening, if you will, that they needed to repent of sin, not just go up to Jerusalem to pray like normal, but to come and have a moment with God, repent of their sin. And then a very common, very normal part of Jewish ritual, Jewish ceremony, is to be baptized. So, you know, we saw what happened this morning in baptism and thinks, oh, that's wonderful, nice little Christian baptism. No, all these are is Gentiles going through the Jewish mikvah, which is a ceremonial cleansing. It's a public display of what God's done privately in the heart. So the Jews would usually, you know, repent of their sin, and they would go into the Jordan River, and they would be baptized. They'd come up, and they would put on a new white tunic, if you will, and then they would go up to Jerusalem to worship. That was baptism. And then, of course, that's just a part of the church today. It's that same public expression that we've been baptized, but I digress. Matthew chapter 3, drop down to verse 11. This is still John talking. He said, "Listen, I'm baptizing you with water because you've repented of your sins and turned to God. But listen to this, friends. Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, greater than John. So much greater, I'm not even worthy to be his slave or carry his sandals." And listen to this, friends. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." When you hear a verse like that, you shouldn't just like, "Oh, praise the Lord, amen. I'm going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire." What? Can I actually tell you something? I hate to criticize smarter people than I am, but because I'm so smart, I can criticize people. It's a bad translation. Put up, I think it's verse 11 again that says, "I'll baptize you." It's a bad translation. He says, "You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." Now, the word baptize in English, we got from the Greek. And in the Greek, it's baptizo, which means to immerse. So what happened this morning was those six or seven people, they were immersed in water. It means you put them under till they bubble. Completely yielded, completely surrendered, completely surrounded by that water. That's what the word baptize means. So what the verse should have said is that he will immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of God. Now that, I can get on board with that. I want to be immersed in the Spirit of God. I want to be immersed in the fire of God. You also, if you're new to church stuff, let me also explain this way. We believe that our God is one. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jewish people. The thing about God is that he is in three persons. He is one, but we believe that God has the Father heart of God, that Jesus was the Son of God, and that the third part of the Trinity is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Kind of like, it's a terrible, very crude example, but think about H2O. Water can be a solid, frozen as ice. It can be a liquid at room temperature as water, or the same thing, H2O, could also be a gas over a certain temperature. So it's the same substance in three parts. You see what I'm saying? So God is one, period. But we experience God in three parts: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what John is saying is that soon there's one coming that will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now you might think that the whole thing about salvation in Jesus is just so we go to heaven. I don't need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I don't need to be immersed in the fire of God. I just need to get to heaven. I'm telling you, friend, there's something more important than you getting to heaven, and that is God wants to put heaven on the inside of you so that you can have the power of God here on earth. He wants to immerse you in his Spirit. He wants to immerse you in his fire. So John, John the Baptist, he gave this word of prophecy even before Jesus got in to his ministry. Now, fast forward to the end of Jesus's ministry. So we're going to go all the way to Luke chapter 24. So this is the Jesus's very final instructions before leaving earth. Jesus, this is after the cross, this is after the empty tomb, this is after Judas's rejection and betrayal of Jesus. So there's only 11 disciples. But Jesus gathers them in Luke 24, and he says, and now I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit just like the Father promised. Say that, say the Father promised it. The Father's promised to send you his Holy Spirit. But Jesus' instructions were stay here in the city, which they were in Jerusalem at the time. Stay here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you, and he will fill you with power from heaven. He's saying, I want you to keep this thing going. I've been preaching for these 3.5 years. We've raised the dead. We've healed the sick. We've cast out devils. We've seen people put their faith in Jesus and repent of their sin. He's saying, I want you to keep it going all around the world. But wait, before you go, you need to be immersed. You need to be filled with the promise that the Father said he would send, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's going to fill you with his power. Turn over to the next page. Now, it's from the end of Luke. We're going to jump to the beginning of Acts. So this is Acts chapter 1. This is in the very final moments before Jesus returns to heaven. He says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the what? Until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. The same gift that I've been talking about all these years. Because in verse 5, John baptized with water. John immersed you in water, just like we saw this morning. But in just a few days, you will be immersed. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, this messes with my theology a little bit. Let me ask you a question. This is after the empty tomb. Why do these guys need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? They were believers. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Why do they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? These 11 men at this time were experts on Jesus. They knew more about Jesus than any other people on earth. They were more in love with Jesus than any other people on earth. They had more theology than any other people on earth. These 11 men would have had honorary PhDs, doctors of divinity, at any Bible college in the world. But Jesus said, you are missing something. Actually, he said, you're missing not something, you're missing someone. You're saved, but you're not going to be able to do what I've asked you to do until you are immersed, until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with God's power, with his fire. Jesus ascends into heaven. Turn the page, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. The day of Pentecost came and all those disciples were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. That wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So these guys were obedient to the command of Jesus. They waited for the promised gift of the Father, and they got it. They got that promise. They got the gift. They got the power of God, and they began to worship God. They began to pray in other tongues, and God's power was poured out. His presence was poured out in that room. But here's the deal. This is Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. So there were no windows. It was open to the street. And the streets were busy with the celebration of the festival of Pentecost. There were thousands of people in Jerusalem at that time. So they could hear all the disciples singing and praying in other tongues. So a crowd began to gather outside. Peter went outside. This is all in Acts chapter 2. I'm skipping. Peter went outside and he began to preach to this crowd of Jewish people that 2 months ago had cried out to kill Jesus. These are the same people that asked that Jesus be crucified. Now they're curious. So what message did Peter preach? Jesus. That's the message. Jesus. Repent of your sin, turn to Jesus. Same message we preach every Sunday. Repent of your sin, turn to Jesus. But the power of God had been poured out. The Spirit of God had been poured out. They heard people praying in languages from all around the world. So here's the crowd's response, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter, brothers, what should we do? So this is your response. What do I do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of your sins. and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. This promise is for you. It's for your children. It's for all who are far off, for all who call on the name of the Lord. Repent, be baptized, receive the gift. Repent, be baptized, receive the gift. I don't understand how people can repent of their sin and not get baptized in water. You need to be baptized in water. Repent of your sin, make Jesus the Lord of your life, be baptized in water, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is interesting that Peter said this gift is for everybody. Not just those that are here in Jerusalem, not just for the good guys, not just for the holy ones. The gift is for everybody that calls on the name of the Lord. So many Christians today struggle with the issue of the Holy Spirit, and they're struggling with sin. So many Christians struggle with sin, struggle with pornography, struggle with anger, struggle with anxiety and fear and loneliness and depression, struggle with addiction to weed or alcohol. So many Christians struggle. And I get up and I say, listen, you got to receive the gift, the promise that the Father is going to send to the Holy Spirit. And people go, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit. Can I address this for a moment? I'm not holy enough to receive the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a reward for you living holy. It's a gift for you to receive. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps to make you holy. If you're not already holy, you need the Holy Spirit to help you to live holy. Also, think about it this way. This was day one of the church. You don't need a gift at the end of the race, but at the beginning. It's not a reward for crossing a finish line. Well, you've been in church for so many years, you've been in life group, you've been a part of a dream team, you're so saved that you can receive the Holy Spirit. That's not how it works. I'm a brand new Christian. I still struggle. I still look at pornography. I still cuss people out on 183. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to real people. That's when you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help you to live holy, to walk in God's power. The other thing is this. So many Christians, they walk into church and their arms are so full of life. They're so full of their anxiety. They're so full of their fear. They're so full of a worry about money. They're so full of things. They're so full of pride. They're so full of unbelief. Maybe they're so full of shame from sin that they've done years ago, and they're carrying in all of this stuff in their arms, and they're like, I don't know why I don't feel God fill me. The Lord can't fill you because your hands are full. You haven't given him anything to fill. And then you look around at the American church and say, well, this is just the way we do it in America. Listen, the church is not an American. God's not a Republican. God's not white. More white people should have amened that. Where's all my friends from Africa? God's not white. I've traveled to more than 40 nations around the world ministering the gospel. You know what I found all around the world? Nobody else struggles with the issue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, only the American church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, believing in prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit is normal all around the world. Americans are the ones we've messed it up. That's an American thing. And I think honestly, it's because we carry so much baggage in our life that we have more faith in our baggage than we do in the Spirit of God. I think the Lord's saying, I'll never leave you empty unless you're so full of yourself, you haven't given me any room to fill. Yeah. I digress. So the Holy Spirit's poured out. The church begins to grow. Thousands of people are getting saved. Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Check it out. Philip is so full of God. He's like, listen, I'm so sick of being in Jerusalem. I'm so sick of being around other believers in Jesus. I've got to take this message to people that don't yet know. So Philip goes up to Samaria. And he's in Samaria and he's preaching the gospel, and many, many, many people get born again in Samaria. If you remember, Jesus at the well in Samaria, he led the prostitute to himself, to Jesus. And she went and she led her village to the Lord, right? So this prostitute, she's only been born again for 1 minute and she leads her whole city to Jesus. If you're a new Christian, what are you waiting for? You need to lead your city to Jesus. Anyway. So up in that region of Samaria, there the gospel has, there's already seeds of a church. So Philip goes up there, tons of people get born again, word spreads to Jerusalem. So the leaders of the church in Jerusalem were concerned about something. What do you think worried Peter and John? Acts chapter 8 and verse 15. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out on them because they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The believers in Samaria believed that Jesus was Lord. These were Christian believers. They were baptized in water, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. So verse 17, Peter and John laid their hands upon the believers, say believers, and then they received the Holy Spirit. When did they do it? As soon as they arrived. It was a priority to Peter and John. Hey, we're glad that Samaria got born again. Let's make sure they get all the way born again. Let's make sure they don't just go to heaven. Let's make sure that heaven comes down on earth in Samaria. Let me extract this from the story. You can absolutely go to heaven if you've not been baptized in water, and if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are saved. If you've repented of your sin and made Jesus the Lord of your life, period, end of story, full stop. But why would you want anything less than the full measure of what the Father promised for you? It's like your parents, like you're a little kid and you're like, Lord, I really, now, nowadays, kids want $1,000 iPhones, but when I was a kid, all we wanted was a new bike, which in the 70s and 80s cost 50 bucks. But you know, all you wanted was a new bike. So all fall, September, October, November, man, you're hinting at what you want. So kids today, you guys want expensive things. And you keep dropping hints and you keep texting pictures of an iPhone that you want. I used to cut bicycle clippings out of the Sunday newspaper and I'd leave them around the house all over October, November. Do you know something I knew about my parents? I knew they loved me. And I knew they had $75 to buy me a new BMX bike. The black one with the green trim. Some of you fellas know what I'm talking about. And then you get the aftermarket pegs that you screw onto the sides. Come on, can I get an amen from a 40-year-old? I got a young church if only one guy amen me. I need more old guys. So, you know something about Christmas? I knew I was getting that bike. I knew I was getting the bike because I had asked for it. And because my parents loved me. I knew the gift was coming. So I looked forward to the gift. So on Christmas morning, there's parents, you think we're so cool and we're so coy. We hide it in another room or something, right? We're like, oh, that's it. I guess that's the end of Christmas. Let's go have Christmas lunch. And you're like, no. Where's my gift? I didn't ask for the moon. I asked for a bicycle. Y'all got jobs. Where's my gift? Right? Because you know you're going to get it. And when they finally, all right, little guy, here you go. You don't go, no, I don't want it. Give it to the church in Africa, in India, in Asia. I'm good with what I got. No, you need to receive the gift the Father wants to give you. No, I just want to go to heaven. Yeah, well, heaven wants to get in you now and wants to get out of you. Man, I tell you, the American church, we have overcomplicated the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This thing was God's idea, not man's idea. When did we get involved and mess it up so much? All I'm asking is, are you hungry for more of God? Are you thirsty for more of God? Because the Bible says, for those that are thirsty, you can come to the Lord and he's going to give you drink. John, Jesus said this, it's red letters in your Bible. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, you can come to me. Anybody that believes in Jesus can come and drink. Because the scriptures declare that a river of living water will flow out of your heart. A river of living water will flow out of your heart. Look at verse 39. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. The Spirit would be given to everybody that believed in Jesus. But at this time, it's early in Jesus' ministry, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not entered into his glory. Three things to extrapolate. Number one, thirsty people can drink. I can't make you drink. Do you know what's funny? When I don't know much about anything, period, but I don't know much about farm animals. I don't know much about horses. But I've heard the old analogy that if your horse isn't drinking, you just need to salt their oats. And they begin to develop a thirst, and then that'll draw them to water. What I'm trying to do right now is just salt your oats. And I'm just trying to say, drink. I can't make you drink, but I can make you hungry. I can make you thirsty. To just say, there's something on the inside of you that needs to drink. I just feel like I need a drink of the Lord. Let me skip the second part and jump down to the third part. Did you notice in verse 39? Jesus needed his Holy Spirit when he was on earth. Jesus needed the Spirit to heal the sick, cast out devils, to preach the gospel the way that he did. But he said, once I return to heaven, I'm going to send you the Spirit so that you can do the same things that I've been doing. Yeah. Oh, that didn't get a good amen. How are we doing on time? I don't know that I have time to go into all that. You have been called to do the same thing that Jesus did. Yeah. And in fact, can I just freak your brain out? Jesus said, you'll do it in greater measure. Yeah. Yeah. You'll do what Jesus did in greater measure. It's in red letters in your Bible. Number three, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was not going to come out of the clear blue sky like some sort of firebolt. You're in church, you're inspired. I've salted your oats. You're like, yeah, I need more. I'm going to drink. And then you're like, now what? Is there a certain way to wave my hands? Do I need to be at the front? Is it okay if I'm in the back? How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, what did he say? That it's a river of living water that flows from your belly. It's a river of living water that just begins to bubble up with on the inside of you. You can't make the Holy Spirit come on you. You have to yield to him. When I say yield, I mean, think about it this way. You've worked a long, hard day at work, and you're tired, and you've been on your feet all day. Your tootsies are tired, but you know that your wife put too many pillows on the bed for decoration, and you normally hate them and want to throw them on the floor as soon as you walk in. Right, fellas? Am I the only guy that's got a wife with too many pillows on the bed that don't? Okay, good. Y'all were quiet on me. But here's something you know about those pillows is that they're soft and they're clean because nobody's ever touched them. So you walk into your bedroom, you kick off your shoes, you turn around, and you just fall back on your bed because you know the bed's going to hold you up and you know the pillows are going to be soft. You're just yielding to it. You need to yield to the Holy Spirit and just begin to let him bubble up on the inside of you. You need to drink. You need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. Just say that. Just say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit. We're going to yield to you. We want your Holy Spirit. Baptize us, Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Get the worship team to come. We need to stop begging God for his Holy Spirit. Can I just say, you don't need to beg God for the Holy Spirit. When you beg God, it makes you an orphan. You're not an orphan. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. All you need to do is take what your father is giving you. Sometimes when people struggle with the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they start to beg God like he doesn't want to give it to you. God wants to give you his Spirit more than you want it. You just got to ask for it. You just got to cry out to it. Just take it. It's yours. The Father's giving it to you. For 2,000 years, it's been on the table for you to take. I'll also say this. Some people get freaked out by tongues. And some of you are like, Pastor Brad, we had no idea you were a tongue talker. I didn't know you were crazy. What's our number one goal on a Sunday morning? Salvation, people to get born again, that's our win. If I take somebody that's never been in church, and we get up and we pray in tongues for 2 hours, is anybody going to get born again that day? It's unlikely. My goal on a Sunday morning, but have you been to Tuesday night prayer? What do we do for an hour? Just pray in tongues. What do we do pre-service? Just pray in tongues. What do I do with my family when we're in our house? Just pray in tongues. It's a normal part, but I don't want tongues to be your goal. The Holy Spirit is the goal. Tongues is just the overflow of what's in your heart. It's just when you pour and you pour and you pour, it just begins to overflow. Tongues is the overflow of a full cup. Let me also say this. You've been created for this. You have absolutely been created for, you were, when the Lord created mankind, he created us to experience his presence. Think about God in Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible says that in the cool of the evening, the Lord would come and he would walk with Adam and Eve. You were not designed for work. You were designed for intimacy with the Father. You experience that by the Holy Spirit. And without power and presence, we endure life. You were not made to endure life. You were made to enjoy life and enjoy his power. And here's the problem. What have you seen in the last 100 years is people's hunger for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has begun to get less and less and less and less and less and less. And we have become experts at building large churches that don't have the power and presence of God, that don't have the word of healing, the word of prophecy. But look at this warning that Paul gave to the church that Timothy was pastoring. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Jump down to verse 5. Some Christians will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Have nothing to do with these people. I believe in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe these scriptures are just as true today as they were 2,000 years ago. I feel like there has been an ember of God's power and his presence that the Lord wants to fan into flame. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, this is why I remind you, fan into flame. Sorry, I misread that. Fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Hop up on your feet. When you walk into the river, let's say you're going to tube here in Texas. So you got your little tube. But before you hop up in it and drink lots of water, not alcohol, Texas people, y'all like to get drunk in the sun floating down rivers, don't you? Not you, your neighbors. But right before you hop up in that tube, don't you just kind of walk out into the middle where it goes from your ankles to your knees to your waist and you feel the flow of the river? And then before you hop up in the tube, don't you just lay back in the water and it just kind of begin to drag you down a little bit? What have you done? You've yielded to the river. You need to yield to the river of God. It's a promise, it's a gift, and it bubbles up when you yield your control. Can I let you in on a little secret? I've already tricked you. Because 5 minutes ago, I asked you to pray, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit. I should do this for a living. Let's pray. Lift your hands. If you're a believer in Jesus, just say, Lord, I want more of your Holy Spirit. Baptize me. Immerse me in your Holy Spirit. I just thought of something. If you're here this morning, and Jesus is not yet Lord of your life, you need to repent of your sin. That comes first. So if you're here this morning and the sound of my voice, I want you to come on down to the altar and just kneel down and ask God to forgive you of your sin. I don't care who sees you. I mean, if you're not yet a believer, just come on down and just kneel down and just say, God, you got to forgive me of my sin. Maybe you're a Christian whose heart has grown cold. You knew the Lord as a young person, but your heart has grown cold. You've allowed sin into your life that you never thought you'd allow into your life. The Lord's calling you to repent of that sin. You feel it right now. It's burning. That's the Lord just saying, come on, let's deal with this sin issue. So just come down to the front. Just kneel down and just begin to repent. Just ask God to forgive you of your sin. All right, back to our prayer. Raise your hands to heaven. And say, Father God, I want the gift that you promised. Immerse me in your Holy Spirit, in your fire, in your power, in Jesus' name. If you pray in other tongues, don't. Just hold it. Just hold it. Because right now, I just want it to bubble. I just want it to bubble. Holy Spirit, bubble up within us. We've asked for the gift. We've asked for the promise. We're not orphans. We're sons and daughters. You've promised us this thing. It's not weird, it's you. We're not asking for something weird, we're asking for more of you. We're asking for more of you. God, I'm asking for more of you. I'm asking for your power and presence. I'm asking for the immersion of your spirit, of your power, of your fire. You promised it. I want it. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want heaven in me now. God, I don't want to just wait to endure life. I want to enjoy life now. So Holy Spirit, come. Begin to baptize us. Begin to pour out your spirit. If you're trying to manufacture something by saying something over and over again, don't. Stop. I want to apologize. If you grew up in a spirit-filled Pentecostal church and we used to try to do tricks to make you pray in other tongues, that's the stupidest thing you could ever do. Just pray like this. Ba, 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 han, da, da. Just give me a break, people. It's not the Spirit of God flowing. It's a river. It's a river of living water, and it flows from your belly. Spirit of God. We want more of you, more of you, more of you. Jesus. Jesus. All right, if you already pray in other tongues, just begin to quietly pray. And if you don't, just begin to pray. Oh, river of God, flow. River of God, flow. River of God, flow, fire of God, come. Burn in us, Lord. Immerse us, baptize us in your power, in your fire. We want you. We want it. We want it. We want it.